Good evening. As a representative of the Board of Elders, I've been asked to bring the members up to date with a little bit of information regarding all the different things that have been taking place in the last long while. Number one, as you may or may not know, St. Mark's has been put on suspension as of May 1 from the active roster of Synod congregations. This was done by Southern Illinois District President Shar. In response to this, a request for appeal will be or has already been sent to President Shar in writing. That's all I have, and it's all I know at this point. And we will purposely and try to keep folks up to date as best we can, as often as we can. Second matter, the board is also actively contacting rostered LCMS pastor candidates as to their possible interest in becoming our pastor here. This list of names that we're working with at this point came from members of the congregation, and if there is someone that you know of that you would like to have contacted, either see me at the end of service, speak to one of the fellow board members, or call the church office, and we'll be glad to take that name and make contact if we can. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Christ is risen. Oh my goodness, after that hard news, we need a little more, don't we? Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
I'm so delighted to be back with you. For those of you who don't know who I am, I'm Pastor Jim Rivette, and I serve in my retirement, quote unquote, as the district and the Synod's prison ministry coordinator. And I'm here this evening to help us celebrate a mission festival, the opportunity that God gives to us to bring other sheep into the fold. And so in the midst of the pain that I just heard, we will include that in our prayers this evening, and that the Lord would guide that process, excuse me, so that appeal can be forthwith coming, and God's heart can move God's heart can move the hearts of men so that good decisions are made, and that the Lord would lead you to an associate pastor or assistant pastor? Oh, okay. Thank you. So we'll include that in our prayers this evening as well. Also, I got a text from Pastor to remember the family of Paul Dunker. That's his uncle who just passed away yesterday. So we'll remember the family of Paul Dunker in our prayers. Are there any other prayer requests that are not listed in the bulletin? Okay. With that in mind, then, we want to continue praising the Lord as we celebrate his many blessings on us as Christ's redeemed people with our opening hymn, number 711.
Thank you.
Please rise as we continue praising our Lord following our worship folder. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit,
Amen.
The Lord is my shepherd.
I shall not want.
He makes me lie down in green pastures. Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? There is forgiveness that you may be feared. Let us confess our sins, confident of his grace, mercy, and forgiveness. O Holy Spirit, we give thanks that the early church exemplified what it means to be the body of Christ, and that many people came to faith through their witness. We must confess that we have not always been fully devoted to the study of the Word, to a faithful use of the sacraments, and to loving service to the people around us. Forgive us and renew us in right hearts and willing spirits. Our gracious Shepherd, we give thanks that you not only endured suffering and death for our sake, but also left us an example that we might follow in your steps. We must confess that we have avoided suffering for your name, have not always turned the other cheek when reviled, and have often strayed from your will. Forgive us and open our ears to hear your gracious call to return to you. Heavenly Father, we give thanks that your Son knows us each by name, and that you have given us faith to hear his voice. He alone gives us protection. He alone offers us abundant life. We confess in all humility that often we have not even listened to his voice. Too often we have feared the dangers of the world around us. Forgive us, strengthen our resolve, and restore to us the joy of your salvation. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, gave himself willingly into suffering and death to pay for our sinning and straying. By his resurrection, he restored us to eternal and abundant life. We shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Therefore, as a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I, the good shepherd, deign to be. I know my own know me. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. To his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I, the good shepherd, deign to be. I know my own know me. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen. This is the feast.
Almighty God, merciful Father, in your Son's death and resurrection, we see how much you want us to be with you forever. Instill in us such faith in you that we shall want nothing. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please be seated as we hear the reading of God's holy word. The first reading is from the book of Acts, the second chapter. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with gladness and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thanks be to God. Christ has risen from the dead. God the Father has crowned him with glory and honor. He has given him dominion over the works of his hands. He has put all things under his feet. The epistle reading is from Peter's first letter, the second chapter. For this is a gracious thing, when mindful of God, one endures sorrow while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if, when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. This is the word of the Lord. Please stand as we sing the Alleluia verse.
Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia, Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
This text also serves as the focus of our meditation this evening. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated as we sing the hymn of the day, number 709. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. That's great news for you and I as we continue in this season of Easter to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. And tonight we have that most beautiful, probably the best or most well-known image of Christ as the Good Shepherd, the one who will leave the 99 and go and find the lost and the straying sheep, the one that comes to mind when you and I are in pain and brokenness and the words of the 23rd Psalm come to us. The Lord is, I shall, yes. What good news for you and I. In the middle of all the seems to be going around, going on in our world and around us, and even within the church, of the pain and the brokenness, and it seems like there's more thieves and robbers than ever. Amen. And yet, Christ comes to remind us this night that He is with us, that we are His sheep. Any of you ever been around sheep? Have you? All righty. This is a quiz you can't flunk. What do you know about sheep? Tell me something about sheep. So a lot of people think sheep are kind of dumb, you know? But I'm not sure that's really the case. I think they have some handicaps. And the reason they probably think they're dumb is because they can't see very well. Okay? What's the cliche? They're blind as a bat. Okay? And that would make you kind of seem kind of dumb. Some of us are used to that awareness. Like you said, they can't seem to find the gate. We'll come back to that thought in a few minutes. What else can you tell me about sheep? Not too much else? Okay. Well, in high school, one summer, I worked as a shepherd's assistant. I grew up out west, outside of Salt Lake City, and so we were in the high desert, and I was with a shepherd and his sheep. Now, one of the things that you didn't say about sheep is they have a really unusual fragrance, you know? But then a lot of animals do, don't they? But what was fascinating about that is because in Utah, in the high desert, there's only watering holes. And a number of shepherds will use these watering holes to bring their sheep there to get them watered and then take them off to another section of the ground to graze. And sheep, man, they'll eat anything down to the nubble. But, so the first time I was with the shepherd, and he had had a really smart dog, and we were taking the sheep to the water, I said, because I noticed that there were a couple other herds of sheep down there, a couple other folks had got there before us. I says, how are we going to get all of our sheep back? He says, don't you worry, they'll know. I said, okay. You know, and when you're in high school, you think you know just about everything. I said, well, I'll bet you I can figure this out. Boy, was I ever wrong. Took the sheep down to the watering hole and got them watered. And then and there were still two other flocks there. And pretty soon he says, okay, it's time to get them back. And all of a sudden, he starts calling these sheep by name. I'd never heard him do that yet. And they just started following him. They knew his voice. I said, that ain't right. That's in the Bible. That really true? And it was. The sheep knew the shepherd's voice. Now, the dog had to help a little bit, and so did I. But it was just amazing to see these sheep respond and follow him. as we made our way away from the made our journey away from the watering hole. The other things that I learned about sheep on that summer was sheep need a lot of help, a lot of care, because in some ways they do seem kind of dumb. They'll eat too much, and then they're like a cow. They have four stomachs, and so they're cud chewers, and they'll get bloated, okay? And when they get bloated, down they go with their feet up in the air, just like you see on cartoons, you know? And sure enough, that's when we'd miss a sheep. They'd gotten bloated, and we'd have to go find them. We'd look for feet sticking up in the air. We'd have to go turn them over and get them up. I found muscles that summer I never knew I had. The other thing that was interesting about them is how they could continue to follow one of the sheep who would have a bell on her. She was almost like an assistant shepherd. And she would, she'd make sure, the shepherd would make sure that she was near him so that the others would follow and hear that sound besides his voice. That's amazing to think about. That God uses this image for you and I, that we are his sheep. And sometimes we seem pretty dumb. Amen? I mean, we did confess our sins this evening, didn't we? That we fall short of the glory of God, and that we need his mercy and his grace and forgiveness, and to hear the good news that he has risen from the dead, and that we have life and salvation and forgiveness, and indeed we belong to him, and we are his, and he knows us by name. That was the other thing that just fascinated me, that he had named all those sheep, because they all look alike, sort of. Except for by size. The sheep know the shepherd's voice. We can distinguish it from the thieves and the robbers. We can distinguish it as we're listening to God as he calls us by name, which started in our baptism when we were named, given our Christian name, and filled with his Holy Spirit. I heard a professor once say, excuse me, that if we spend as much time speaking about the work of the Holy Spirit, pardon me, in our lives, as Luther wrote about, there would have never been a excuse me, I'm going to have to get a drink. If we spend as much time listening to the Holy Spirit as Luther spent writing about the work of the Holy Spirit, there would have never been a Pentecostal movement. We would be that movement. We would be the ones that would be making sheep. In the first reading, before our text today, in last week's readings, we heard that as Peter was preaching and the apostles and they gathered together, they were adding to their numbers daily. And in the first account of Acts chapter 2, they added 3,000. Woo! That's a lot of sheep in one day. Who makes sheep, by the way? Do shepherds make sheep? No, they don't. Sheep make sheep. My experience of 40 years in the ministry in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod has taught me a number of things. And one of the things is that so often we think it's the pastor's job to do something. And one of those is to go and make more sheep, to go and find them, to bring them in, to gather them from the highways and the byways. The last parish that I served before I retired, Our Redeemer Lutheran Church, Golconda. I was with them for 7 years. And when I joined them as their pastor, we were averaging about 15 folks on Sunday morning. They had been through a split. You all know about that. Amen? They were a people who were fractured and broken and frustrated, feeling forsaken, wondering what God was up to. And the Lord called me there to be their under-shepherd. And over the 7 years that I was with them, the Lord blessed us. Through word and sacrament, we stayed faithful to His word. We stayed faithful to what we heard Peter describing in our second reading. When we're suffering, how we react. We use Christ as our model. And I'm here to tell you, I've been going in and out of prisons for 40 years, and if somebody smacks me on the face, I'm pretty slow to turn the other cheek. Amen? I mean, this ain't the prettiest jaw in the world, but I don't want it hit on. The people experienced God's healing hand. They learned His word. We did a 2-year program where we went through the Bible from Genesis to the book of Revelation, the whole congregation. And the Lord blessed us, and we grew. And when I retired from there in August of 2012, I did a little survey because I was curious, because by the time I retired, we were averaging 45 to 50 folks at worship service. Praise God. Amen. Can I get an amen out of you guys? You're a little, come on, get with it tonight. We're talking about Jesus working in our lives here, folks. And I went back and I did a little study to see how many of those folks came to that congregation because of me. Anybody want to guess how many families came to me? Now, we tripled in size. We added about 20 families. How many families do you think came because of me? Anybody? How many? Oh, you're so gracious. Lower. How many? Five. Lower. Lower.
Zero.
Not one family joined that congregation because of Pastor Rivette, this handsome debonair guy on a motorcycle. They came because other people invited them. They came because people were in conversation about what God was doing in His church. They came because they were experiencing God's healing grace and mercy and forgiveness and learning how to deal with pain when you feel like you've been stabbed in the back. They came because they kept their eye on the cross. They came because they understood the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's His church, not yours, not mine. You sheep belong to Jesus. I wouldn't have picked some of you sheep. Whew, Lord, have mercy, look at you. You know, and you probably think the same thing about me. Why in the world did the Lord call a guy like that to be a pastor? Must have been a bad day in Dodge. The Lord uses us out of our history of what He's done for us and continues to do for us and makes us His own. And He puts us in places to proclaim and to share what we've experienced. You don't have to be able to pontificate like Paul or sing like an angel. You just need to share your story. And you all have a story of how Christ has assisted you and loved you and nurtured you and has called you by name, and you've heard His voice, and you followed Him. The Lord, in his sense of humor, placed me in prison ministry. And so I'm dealing with folks that some of you might call black sheep, outcasts, folks that people don't want around them. I'm dealing with several men right now who are lepers in our society. Who are the lepers in our society right now? Sex offenders. I've been working with a fellow trying to get him he's been in prison for 40 years. Everyone in his family's died. He's been, according to the chaplain that I've talked to, he never misses church or Bible class. And from what the chaplain tells me, he carries himself like a Christian on the block, just like he does in the chapel. We can't find a place for this guy to go to. Nobody wants him. He hurt a child. And we have trouble as a society forgiving people who do that, even when they've served their time. Isn't it interesting that Jesus knows him by name and calls him one of his own? He may never get out of prison. He may die there. And he'll end up right next door to you in heaven. How's that for a thought? You see, we do so much labeling when we get hurt and when we see pain and terrible things. But Christ saw much more terrible things that night. He was in the garden and he was sweating blood and tears over us. And everything that we had done, all the terrible things that we continue to do. And that's why he died. Because the Father didn't want to lose one of his sheep. His blood was shed for all. My prayer for you and I is that we remember the forgiveness Christ has given us. You may have never done such terrible things as hurt a child, or maybe you have. Maybe you've mentally scarred a child or spiritually abused them when you wouldn't forgive them. Sometimes we're thieves and robbers too, aren't we? And so we call out for God's mercy, and he hears our cry, and he sheds his blood for us, and he brings us back into the fold. And when we feel like a black sheep, he makes us righteous. He covers us with a robe of righteousness, a garment of salvation. And we look awesome to our Lord and Savior. And he enables us then to be gathered together. Who are the lost sheep in your lives? Who is it that God has prepared you to go to and share your story so that they can become part of this sheepfold of knowing God's grace and forgiveness, of hearing what you heard at the beginning of this service, that your sins are forgiven. You've been cleansed. You've been made righteous and holy. You look wonderful for sheep. You look wonderful because of Christ and his cross and his glory. And he invites us to be mindful of what it is that he does for us and continues to do for us. And I'm so grateful to the Lord that he's given me opportunities to be used by him to bring the gospel, to share the story of forgiveness, to be embraced by a man who's been rejected by others and yet knows that his sins are forgiven. I'm working with another man who was a sex offender, and he's out on the streets now. He's gotten himself started a business. He's doing wonderful. But he can't go to church because his parole officer won't let him. Even though we've made arrangements for him to go to a church where there won't be any children around for any concerns. Well, he'll eventually get off parole, and he'll get to come to church, and he'll get to receive word and sacrament. But until then, I go to his home, and we read scripture together, and we pray, and I give him the Lord's Supper. And every time I give him the Lord's Supper, when he's doing confession, the tears roll down his face. So I asked him about the third time that happened. I said, "What are the tears for?" He says, "I still have to receive that good news that I am forgiven. And that it really takes hold of my heart and of my spirit and of my life." That's the joy you and I have as we're called into mission. As you and I are given the opportunity to make sheep by the power of God's word and sacrament. To experience the freedom and the grace and the joyful good news that Christ is risen. Y'all better go make some sheep now. Amen? May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please rise. Thank you. What shall I render to the Lord? And I rise of thanksgiving and will call on the and will call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows in the presence of people in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem. Almighty God, in whom we know the power of redemption, you stand among us in the shadow of our time. As we move through every sorrow and trial of this life, uphold us with knowledge of the final morning, when in the glorious presence of your risen Son, we will share in his resurrection, redeemed and restored to the fullness of life, and forever freed to be your people. O God, your Son remained with his disciples after his resurrection, teaching them to love all people as neighbors. As his disciples in this age, we offer our prayers on behalf of the universe in which we are privileged to live and our neighbors only share it. Holy Shepherd, you know your sheep by name and lead us to safety through the valleys of death. Guide us by your voice that we may walk in certainty and security to the joyous feast prepared in your house where we celebrate with you forever. Loving and gracious God, in the wake of your Son's resurrection, as your people are devoted to the apostles' teachings and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and the prayers, unite your people into one true faith and grant penitent hearts to all who come to receive our Lord's body and blood. May we be mindful, Lord, that you have made us one. There is brokenness and pain in this congregation, Lord. And so we ask that your word and sacrament would guide, and through the transforming power of the Holy Spirit, doors would be opened, reconciliation could happen, and your mercy abound in this congregation and in our district and in our synod. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, our Creator and Redeemer, the culminator of all beauty, we come before you with our concerns and our brokenness, and we ask, Lord, that you would watch over our nations, guide our president and Congress and all those who are in authority. Replenish them with your grace that they may be inclined to your will and walk in your ways. We ask, Lord, that you would watch over our military personnel and their families, for those that are deployed in various parts of the world, and for those that are in harm's way, particularly in the Middle East. We lift up Justin, Richard, Kevin, Rodney, Casey, Tim, Ethan, Bill, Andrew, Justin, John, Matt, Corey, Denny, and Zach. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, you work many miracles through the hands of the apostles in the name of Jesus. Hear our prayers on behalf of all who cry to you, who need your healing touch. We pray for Norma as she is hospitalized. We pray, Lord, for the family of Paul Dunker, who was called to your heavenly home yesterday. As family and friends gather together, surround them with your peace and comfort and the assurance of your resurrection when you come again. We give you thanks, Lord, for the gift of marriage and for Jim and Edie celebrating 40 years as husband and wife, for Larry as he retires, and for Jacob as he is received into the family of God in holy baptism tomorrow. We pray, Lord, for those who are listed in the continuing prayer concerns in our care center residents. And Lord, we pray for this congregation in their calling process that you would lead to this place a pastor who could assist Pastor Kelly, so that all things can be done to your glory and this congregation might grow under these under shepherds and more sheep would come to know you through Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy. Receive these prayers, O God, and transform us through them, that we may have eyes to see and hearts to understand not only what you do on our behalf, what you call us to do, so that your realm will come to fruition in glory. Hallelujah. Amen. We boldly confess our faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And now, Lord, we are bold to pray as you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We continue with the prayer of thanksgiving on the back page, page 12. Lord Jesus, Good Shepherd, we give you thanks for protecting your flock by your death and resurrection and for nurturing the faith within us. Grant us such faith that we always listen to your voice and follow you in the paths of righteousness. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with every good thing that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Hallelujah. Amen. We continue praising the Lord with our closing hymn, 722.